Matthew 27, verse 57 to 61. Now when evening had come, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. And this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And that means cut, children. He had cut it out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. Let's ask God to bless His Word this morning. Father in heaven, thank You for this light. Thank You that You haven't left us to walk in darkness, but there's light here, Father. Your Word is light, and so light our way, and open my mouth and open our ears so that we will be able to understand this Word, and Lord God, that we would be able to hear it and obey it, and to live for Your glory in a day when it's not easy to do that. So, Father, hear us, we ask in that, amen. Well, a couple weeks ago, I was at Starbucks. I was drinking a coffee, and a friend, stranger, actually, sat down. He became a friend, I suppose, afterwards, but sat down. We got chatting, and I discovered that this guy, for a job, sells coffins on eBay. Now, I've heard of people selling a lot of things on eBay before, but I've never heard of anyone selling coffins on eBay. And so I asked him some questions, and one of the questions I asked him was, do you make any money doing this? Is it profitable? And he assured me that actually it was a very profitable business. And, you know, in a way, of course, it probably was, because after all, people still want a decent burial today, don't they? This morning, we're looking at just that, a decent burial. Jesus Christ had lived His life for the honor of His Father. And now at death, the Father is honoring His Son with a decent burial. We know that because the interpretation of this passage is found in Isaiah 53, which we read earlier, right? Not now, but sometime, if you want, later on. Turn to Isaiah 53, verse 9, and we read these words. His grave was assigned with wicked men. This is how the New American Standard Bible puts it. His grave was assigned with wicked men. In other words, wicked men wanted to give Him a grave, a dishonorable, disgraceful death. Yet, He was with a rich man in His death, hundreds of years earlier. That's what was said about the death, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in that day, it was typical for the Romans to take a criminal and just take his body and just throw it into an open grave, and the birds would come down, the animals would come and eat it. It was a disgraceful thing. He's a criminal. Or else, sometimes they would take the bodies and throw them into a burning garbage heap known as Gehenna, which was around Jerusalem. And that's what often would happen to criminals and their bodies. But that didn't happen to the Lord Jesus Christ, because God sovereignly orchestrated things in such a way as to honor His Son with a decent burial. And the interesting thing is how God does that. You know how He does it? He finds a man named Joseph of Arimathea. And Arimathea was a city of the Jews. We know that Joseph was a rich man. We're told that. He was also on the council. He was part of the Sanhedrin, part of that religious body that condemned Jesus to death. But we're also told in one of the accounts that he did not consent to the Lord's death. He didn't want it. He was looking for the coming of the kingdom. He was looking for Messiah. Actually, he was a disciple in secret of Jesus Christ. And this is the man that God uses to honor His Son at His death. The really exciting thing is this, that if God could honor His Son by a man like Joseph of Arimathea, then it stands to reason that God could use any of you here this morning to bring honor to His Son. And friends, I'll tell you something now. There is nothing greater than that. To live your life in such a way that you highly regard that you show great appreciation for Jesus Christ. There is nothing more important than that. And this morning, we're looking at how God used this man named Joseph, and how God uses the Josephs of this world, how God could use you to bring honor to the Son. Are you ready? Are you with me this morning? Okay, three ways. Here's the first way. Keep your eye on the clock. Here's how God uses people to bring honor to Jesus Christ. Keep your eye on the clock. I don't think Joseph had a lot of time to bury Jesus. If you look down your Bibles in verse 57, we're told this. Now when evening had come. Now when we think of evening, we normally think of what time? About 6 o'clock. But by Jewish reckoning, the evening was about 3 o'clock. That's when evening came, the first evening. We're also told this was the preparation day. Any of you know what the preparation day was in Jewish thinking? It was the day before the Sabbath. It was the day to get ready for the Sabbath. That's why it was called preparation day. And so the Jewish Sabbath would begin at what time on Friday?
6 o'clock.
Okay, let's do the math on this now. How many hours then did that give Joseph to bury Jesus?
3 hours.
Now get this. In that 3-hour window, Joseph had to go to Pilate, beg for Jesus' body, get the body, bring the body home, inter the body, get it ready for burial, and bury that body in 3 hours. That is not a lot of time. You know what I think? I got this sense that this was probably a man on a mission. I get the sense that Joseph probably didn't just, you know, sit down and take a nap for a while and take a sweet old time, but that he was looking at the clock. The whole time. 3 hours. That's not a lot of time. But think of it this way, friends. What if you and I were to live our lives with that kind of mindset? That when it comes to honoring Jesus Christ, we feel like we don't have a lot of time to do it. That our eye is always on the clock. That one. Right? We're always concerned that we just maybe don't have enough time. How many of you have ever watched the playoffs, the NHL playoffs before? Okay, I'm going to broaden this. How many of you have ever been involved in a sport that involves a clock? Okay. Have you ever been in a situation where you're on the winning side and it's really close and you just keep on asking the referee, you know, how much time is left in the game? Or if you're on the losing side, you know, ref, how much time is left in the game? You want to know that. Why? Because you want to know how much time you got to work with. I mean, what if we actually lived our lives in terms of honoring Jesus Christ with our eye on the clock in that way? My bet this morning, and I think I'm probably right, we don't often live our lives that way, do we? We think we've got all kinds of time, don't we? Maybe you're here this morning and when it comes to Jesus Christ, you think that you've got all kinds of time to make a decision for Him, to live your life for Him. And right now, you're young, so you know what? It's not really that important, and I'm just going to go and live my life however I kind of want. And then later on, when I'm growing up, and maybe when I have kids and I've got to be responsible, or maybe when I'm older than that, then I'll start thinking about Jesus Christ and my relationship with Him. Can I just say to you this morning that that's not a good idea? There's a story in the Bible about an individual who thought he had all kinds of time and he had all kinds of money, and he broke down his barns and made bigger barns, and he said to himself, you know, this is great. When I'm done here, I'm just going to take it easy. I'll just eat, drink, and be merry. And God came to him and said, you fool, your soul is demanded of you tonight. You just don't know how much time you've got. And if you're young, this is the time to really get serious about your Savior, not sometime in the future, which you think you might have, which you don't know you have. Today is the day, even when you're young, to remember your Creator, to think about Jesus Christ. And maybe some of you this morning are saying to yourself that, you know, I'll get serious about Jesus Christ and I'll honor Him with my life, but I've got things to do right now. I've got priorities. And Jesus said to someone once, A man who came to him and said, you know, Jesus, I want to be your disciple, but I've got to go bury my father. What did Jesus say to him? He said, let the dead bury their dead. You come and be my disciple. What was he saying? That parents aren't important? No, just that he's got to be the number one priority in our lives, is he? You know, maybe this morning also, we think that we've got time to sin. You know, we'll just give ourselves to a particular sin for a season of sin. And then after that, you know, maybe we'll talk about honoring God with our lives. Well, it doesn't work that way either. You know, the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, we've lived long enough doing what pagans do. You know, carousing and drunkenness and orgies and fornication. He says, haven't you lived, you know, enough time doing that kind of stuff? Why spend a moment more doing that kind of thing? You and I have got to live our lives for the honor of Jesus Christ as though we just don't have a lot of it. A lot of time. With our eye on the clock. Like in Psalm 90. Remember what Moses said in Psalm 90? He said, some get 70, the strong get 80 years. And then after that he goes on to say, Lord, help us to number our days so that we might gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, help us to understand that we don't go on forever, that this life is not a really long time. And so help us to make every day count. Help us to live every day for your honor, to praise you and to exalt you. Help us to do that, O God. And that, I think, is what we need. To live our lives for the honor of Jesus Christ with our eye on the clock, we've got to pray that prayer. God, help us. Give us a heart of wisdom. Give that to us this morning. What do you think? I went to my grandma's yesterday. She's 90 years old. Almost. And I bet that if I asked Grandma, Grandma England, would you say you've lived a long life? She'd say, probably not. 90 years doesn't seem that long to a 90-year-old woman. And your lives, they're not long. They're not. They're going to be over in the blink of an eye. Before you know it, someone's going to be with a spade in their hand digging the hole for your grave. It's true. Keep your eye on the clock, friends. You don't got a lot of time. Each day, you've got to be living for the honor of Jesus Christ. You got that? That's the first way that we learn, excuse me, from Joseph, how to honor Jesus Christ. Here's the second way. Keep your hand in your wallet. Okay? That's the second way. Keep your hand in your wallet. What impresses me about Joseph is not the size of this guy's wallet. It's the size of his heart. There are lots of people with big wallets, but, you know, to find their hearts, you got to put them under a microscope. It's true. Joseph had an enormous heart, and God had given him resources. He was a rich man, we're told. We know that. But if you look at the story, you realize just how loaded the guy was. this man, when he took Jesus' body, wrapped his body up with fine linen, that probably was expensive. We're told in one of the accounts, John's accounts, that Nicodemus and he wrapped 100 pounds of spices into the Lord's body when they buried him. I'm thinking that was expensive. We're also told that the Lord's body was laid in a garden. I'm thinking that was Joseph's garden and in a tomb that was cut out of a rock, which was probably prime cemetery space. And so there's Joseph. He's got all this prime real estate around Jerusalem. He's got his own private cemetery. And he gives Jesus the best grave for nothing. There's a man who had his hand in his wallet. I mean, everywhere he's going, he's just shelling out the money. Right, left, and center for the Lord Jesus Christ to honor him. And what does he get back for it? Nothing that I read of. Why did he do that? I mean, don't forget, he didn't even know that Jesus was going to rise from the grave. Why? Well, you know, when you meet Jesus, and when Jesus gets into your heart, these are the sort of things you do for him, even if you don't understand everything that you're doing. And I believe that Jesus had so gripped Joseph's heart, and Joseph was so in love with Jesus that this was no big deal to Joseph. A little bit of money. No big deal. But what if we lived our lives like that, with our hands constantly in our wallets? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not just talking about money either. I'm talking about all the resources that God has given you. Now look it. Think of the things that God has given you. You say, God hasn't given me a whole lot. Well, rubbish. I don't believe it. God has given you all kinds of things. He's given you time. He's given you time. What are you going to do with your time? He's given you gifts. He has? Yeah. He's given all of you gifts to use for His honor. What are your gifts? How are you using your gifts for the honor of Jesus Christ? Your physical resources. How are you using those for the glory of God, for the honor of the Son? I can't get into detail this morning as to how exactly you should live with your hand in your wallet for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. What I'm doing is I'm asking you to take stock of your lives. What has God given you? I think that we can be so slow to really want to look at that question. Even as I'm asking that question, I want you to think about this. Do you really want to do what I'm asking you to do? You know, I think we just love to keep our wallets in our pockets. You know, and my time is my own, and my gifts are my own, and my money is my own. And maybe on the Lord's Day, you know, I'll throw a nickel or whatever, you know, God's way. But, you know, everything that God has given you, that you have, that you possess, has been given to you to use for His honor. And so I'm asking you this morning, how are you using those things? Take stock of your life. Be open-hearted with God. God says in His Word that He loves a cheerful giver. And what you sow, you reap. If you sow stingily, you know what? Expect that much back. But if you sow in generosity, God promises to really bless those who do. So let's have great big hearts, right? Like your Savior, who were told that although He was rich, He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become what? Wealthy. Right? He divested Himself of His apparent glory and came down to earth and died on that cross for your sins to make you so rich, so loaded with an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade away. And it's all good, and we're going to heaven because of His grace and His love. So, that's the model. And I'm asking you this morning to take stock of your lives. Keep your hand in your wallet. Keep your eye on the clock. Keep your hand in your wallet. And then thirdly, keep your heart in a headlock. Keep your heart in a headlock. How many of you this morning think that it was easy for Joseph to do what he did? We got some answers. Yeah, okay. And how many of you think that it was really hard for Joseph to do what he did by asking for the body? Okay. Don't forget that Joseph was a secret disciple of Jesus. And we're told that he was that because he was afraid of the Jews. Okay. In fact, we're told in John's Gospel, I believe, or Mark's, that when it came time to ask him for the body, that he had to take courage. Why? He was afraid. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? When it comes time to honoring Jesus, and showing regard for and appreciation for Him, don't you find so often we end up just looking at our shoes in fear? But Joseph took courage. He put his heart in a headlock. He said, you know what? I'm not going to let the fear of those Jews keep me from doing what I know I must, from honoring the Lord. We all have fears this morning, don't we? Fears of people. Can I prove that to you this morning with one word? Evangelism. Yep. We're afraid, aren't we? We're afraid of losing a lot. We're afraid of doing what's right. We're afraid of the consequences, aren't we? I mean, what will people think of us? What will they say of us? And I want those of you this morning, particularly those of you who are off to university and college, I want you to hear me in this, because you are beginning something, and how you begin it is really going to dictate how you stay in it. And it is so easy to go in and to just give in. And to start badly. And to start the wrong way. The pressures that you are in or that you are about to enter in are so great. And the promises that will be held out to you, the joy and the pleasure and the satisfaction are so great and so strong that you are going to need to put your heart in a headlock for Jesus Christ and take courage. And say, you know what? I will not compromise. I will not give in. I won't do that. I'm going to honor no matter what happens, come what may. You know, Joseph could have lost it all. He could have lost his job, his reputation, his money. This was no small thing for this man to stand up in a day when everyone was saying, kill him! Right? And today I believe that Jesus Christ is calling His people to have a heart of courage like Joseph. And to not back down. And to not worry about what the world says about him. And to not worry about doing the right thing, even when the consequences are so great. If we love Him, if we really love Him, and if we will show our appreciation for Him and hold Him in high regard, if we will honor Him, then God will honor you, friends. He will honor you in this life. He will honor you at death. And He will honor you with everlasting life. Keep your heart in a headlock. Keep your hand in your wallet. Keep your eyes on the clock. You do this, friends, and you get used by God to bring honor to His Son. And there ain't nothing greater than that, friends. Do you hear me? There ain't nothing greater than that. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we pray this morning that we would see in Joseph both a model but also a challenge. And also, Father, a motivation and an inspiration to live for Your honor. God, give us the grace that we need to do that this morning. Father, that is what we want more than all things. To honor Your Son. Father, help Your people to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.